Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio, Due North. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Medicine Hat, Alberta is a city with a similar size and a similar population of roughly 66,000 people compared to our own roughly 76,000. It could be said that its climate is quite similar, temperate to hot in the summer and definitely sub-zero in the winter. Although provincial politics differ, there are more overall similarities than differences between us. Our city has been dealing with a housing shortage, as much of the country has also. This crisis, coupled with an increase in the amount of people living unhoused on our city streets, have led some to consider housing-first practices, a practice that prioritizes getting people into permanent houses with supports to follow. For many, this practice seems radical. In Medicine Hat, though, this philosophy has been put to practice over the last several years. Speaking with us today is
Jamie Rogers, manager of the Homeless and Housing Development Department with Medicine Hat Community Housing Society. So yes, in Medicine Hat, we have a philosophy of housing first. So that's just for your listeners, both a philosophy of how we actually do our work, and then it's also a direct intervention as well. So we do believe in housing first. It's an evidence-based intervention for a lot of individuals that are experiencing homelessness, whether they're chronic or episodically homeless.
Housing first as a practice goes hand in hand with this concept of functional zero, which doesn't mean that no one will ever experience homelessness ever again, but rather systems are in place to ensure that any experience of homelessness is brief, permanently resolved, and overall rare.
How chronic homelessness and functional zero tie into that is just around really good data and targeting individuals that are experiencing chronic homelessness. And it's a definition by Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness to actually really focus on those that are most really entrenched in the homelessness situation that they find themselves in, whether that's a system issue or structural changes or personal choice along the way as well. Medicine Hat's achievement under that was based on a number of things. And first and foremost, yes, housing first and our intervention around that. Also, the importance of coordinated access and understanding how to prioritize people through a system, because there is a large number of people that need to be served in every community. You really have to prioritize who is getting into services right away. And then also making sure that services exist that are maintaining the fidelity of an intervention to actually properly house and then support individuals to help maintain their housing stability with that. The thing with that is the importance of having good data and a robust system in place to ensure that people are having the highest degree of success possible. And sometimes that means, you know, defunding programs that aren't operating well and ensuring that what makes sense for the community as a whole is what's actually being implemented in the specific communities. And fourth is the availability of housing. Without the availability of housing, it's really hard to have any success in any type of plan that includes terminology like housing first. In the absence of housing, the success is limited. We always challenge communities to get creative about how they're defining housing and what that means for the individuals that are being served. It might look a little bit less traditional than what you or I might think as.
The Medicine Hat Community Housing Society operates as a separate nonprofit entity. So how is it established? Where does it get its funding from?
We were established way back in the day, 1970. In 2006, we actually had two organizations amalgamate. One was called the Medicine Hat Community Housing Society, and the other part was an organization that was around delivering social and affordable housing in communities, so a housing management body. So those two organizations merged to what we now have as Medicine Hat Community Housing Society. So we do have two core business functions. One is as a housing management body to provide safe and affordable housing to individuals in the community, and the other arm of it is around our homeless initiatives. So with our homeless initiatives, which falls under my department, we are known as a community-based organization and community entity, provincial and federal. Could it be indicative of where we actually get our money from? So we do receive money from our provincial government to the tune of about $3.2 million. And from our federal government through the Reaching Home Initiative, we receive about $1 million. And we invest about 90% of those funds directly into community-based services aimed at ending homelessness in our community through various means, whether it's prevention or rent supplement or housing first programs or permanent supportive housing, youth-based, invest in shelters as well. So we have quite a broad system to address the various needs in community. We also have a program around housing loss prevention for people that are stably housed and have a notice to vacate for a lot of different reasons, given the volatility and affordability issues that I think every Canadian is experiencing right now. We see those numbers increasing year after year, so then we can adjust our funding for that. The municipal government, interestingly enough, does not contribute to, on a financial standpoint, to our efforts to end homelessness. A couple things that are really important for that is we've never asked for municipal support on that. And nor will we until we absolutely need to, where the city has been a very, very strong partner and collaborator and supporter is around our development of affordable housing. So we have the city donation of land and utilities and the servicing of that for future built on affordable housing that we're working on right now. We also manage properties on behalf of the city of Medicine Hat. So the utilities is just around the servicing of the bare lands for a project we have right now. They don't cover our utilities or anything like that. So it's around the land developing and the servicing of the requirement for utilities there and contribution on that so we can build affordable housing in community. It's the land donation, but it's around bringing their voice to the table and getting us into rooms that we may otherwise not be able to get into as well from a political standpoint. And the City of Medicine Hat is one of the strongest ambassadors for the need for housing and, you know, the work that we do as not just an organization that leads this initiative, but our community partners that are doing the hard work. So, yeah, they are huge ambassadors. Not that we agree on every principle or approach, but overall huge supporters of the work we do. And, you know, if it was around a financial investment versus that support, I'd take the support every day.
It's actually the investment in utilities that municipality provides and making some land available for the construction of new housing projects. That's the central contribution that really makes the difference there. What were some of the factors that kind of precipitated this change into the municipality looking at this as a priority rather than the province or the federal government?
So I think what we saw in Medicine Hat was not unique to Medicine Hat, actually. I would say our counterparts across Alberta also experienced this as well. And we had a provincially coordinated effort, and not that it was provincially driven, it was very grassroots and community driven that we had this collective voice and vision going forward about housing first as a good methodology to use to address homelessness. With our municipal government, we've gone through changes in our municipal government and have to say that we've been tremendously fortunate that throughout our changes in mayor and councils and even city administration, that there's been a high degree of support for the work that not just ourselves, but our community undertakes around our homeless initiatives. And, you know, part of that is not everyone agrees with the approach, not everyone agrees with the philosophy, and that's okay. You know, it really allows us to launch off and have disruptive conversations about what's working and what's not. And important to that is who it's not working for. Housing First is not designed to serve every individual that's experiencing homelessness. And not every individual that's experiencing homelessness actually needs a Housing First type intervention. Some need prevention or early intervention services, and some need some individuals we're finding even now need a level of support that is more health-based, where we're not equipped to actually house and support the individuals based on their level of need. To your question about, you know, municipal involvement and how this becomes a priority, the use of data and strong communication has been integral to having our municipal government understand what the impact of what we're doing is. We see, like many communities, a lot of social discourse in our downtown core right now. It tends to be the centralization of where some program services are and also where some thriving businesses are. So it's around having some just really honest conversations around really differentiating between someone's housing status based or their behavior. So when we're seeing an increase in crime or, you know, increase in some of those maladaptive behaviors in our downtown core, we do a really focused and intentional approach around making sure we're defining that as not as a homeless population, but as individuals that are perpetuating crime and criminal behavior. Housing status, we have to differentiate between the behaviors. So that's been key, and our city's been very receptive to that. I'm not saying that it's been a easy road. It has definitely been a highly bumpy road. But I think the kind of buy-in comes from our numbers and our demonstrated ability to hear and listen and then change our approach when we need to change the approach. And that comes through time. comes through time and gaining credibility amongst our community and our leadership, and more importantly, the people that are actually utilizing our services. Because if, you know, we can't deliver a service that people are not willing to engage in, then we failed not just the individuals experiencing homelessness, but we failed the community as well, quite frankly.
Right. You mentioned the importance of data and credibility. How is data collected in the work you do?
So we're fortunate. We have had it's called a homeless management information system in place since really the onset of our delivery, where we do have coordination and consistency around data being collected. And we also coordinate information with our policing service, with our health services as well, with our shelters and our programs that are actually operating. So we have the availability to have very consistently collected data with the individual's permission. And that data helps us look at, you know, what level of services is the individual requiring and what they're not requiring as well sometimes. It also allows us to look at those individuals that we see continually housed but are falling back into a state of homelessness. And we, you know, really do analyze that data and information and look at not how did that individual fail, but how did that system fail the individual in terms of maybe we need a different response. A good example right now here in Medicine Hat that we're experiencing is we have exceptionally high utility rates right now that we're finding a lot of working and already housed individuals and families that are, you know, having to walk through a door because they're going to lose their housing. So our ability to look at even just that level of information and go, if it, you know, individuals that are, you know, have a employment-based income, which tends to be a little bit higher or a lot of it higher than government benefit programs, if those individuals are really struggling right now, can't imagine what our actual vulnerable folks are that are, you know, maybe just recently housed or still experiencing homelessness. From a system planning standpoint, how we use that data then is we actually review and look at, do we need to increase what we allow for rent subsidies to support those individuals? If they're already housed, we want to keep people housed if it's safe and appropriate type of housing for them. We don't want people to lose their housing. It's one, highly costly to have to rehouse individuals. And two, it's a traumatic experience for people that haven't lost their housing to, you know, lose their housing for the first time, maybe have to change schools for the kids, et cetera. So there's a lot that goes towards that. So the data is not just about the individuals that, you know, we see on the streets that are chronically homeless. It's because of our robust services and our vast system of care, we're able to look at that from a really broad perspective and then make informed decisions around how we can actually change our system of care to be responsive to the community and individual needs.
It's interesting that you have enough data that you can actually reference the introduction of a new stress factor and then see whether that is contributing to more people being pushed into homelessness or not.
Absolutely. It's been, you know what, having data and really understanding people in the context of their homelessness has been absolutely critical to our success here. We spend a lot of time and energy understanding, not just saying, hey, we have X amount of people experiencing homelessness. I think communities and other people would be really surprised at how much time we spend understanding what that actually means from a, not just an economic standpoint, but from a humanistic standpoint as well, and the impact that that creates around community well-being and impact on other services as well. So, you know, when we take to heart doing really good systems planning and integration, you have to know those things. You just do. You can't be so far removed. You know, we talk about people aren't numbers. The data reflects the unique individuals and families that we serve, and we have to know how they're experiencing homelessness in our community to effectively respond to that.
When you mention credibility, I'd imagine that having good data helps with that. But I imagine that also reflects into like general public opinion. Those are the main critics of any municipal situation, right? Is how does the community feel about this initiative? Do they feel it's working? Things like that. Was there any shift in public opinion that kind of led to the adoption of this strategy? And does that continue now?
No, there wasn't a public shift in it. I think we've seen continual ebbs and flows around public opinion and perspective. And a lot of times it's just that opinion and perspective about what community sees on the streets or what they don't see. Depends on where you're at. If you frequent downtown and have one bad experience with someone, even though you don't know their housing situation, that you know, labels are attached immediately. On the flip side, I'm not saying that doesn't happen either, where we might have, you know, we do have people still experiencing homelessness in Medicine Hat. We do have people sleeping out on the street right now. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that contribute to that. Some of it is around appropriate access to 24/7 shelter and, you know, banning of individuals as well. So that's what we look at from a system level. In terms of the credibility, I have to say something that we do and we do exceptionally well is we are honest about what we're doing and where we maybe got it wrong in terms of that wasn't the right approach to use or we could have intervened sooner. It's a community issue. Homelessness is a community issue. It's not the homeless sector issue. It's not the housing sector. It's not a policing issue. It is a community issue. What we have not done a good job is kind of coming up at the 30,000 level and talk about the experience of homelessness throughout our community. So what people tend to focus on and what they see is, you know, the 20 or 30 individuals that are downtown because they're visible and because, you know, people have a perception or a bias around what people look like and how they behave. What they don't see is the hundreds of people that are served that aren't downtown, that were prevented from being downtown, or the kids that are not downtown on the streets either. So I have to say an area that we have not done exceptional at is actually telling the rest of the story, because, you know, when you focus on something, and especially with our business community, something that's visual and, you know, tangible and you can see it, is tend to be where the focus is. What we need to do is come up a little bit and talk about the stories of people that didn't end up on the street or that were on the street and got housed really quickly that, you know, aren't part of that narrative in community. And, you know, communities do a interesting job of creating a narrative and then not being able to dislodge from that narrative because, you know, it serves a purpose sometimes.
Not a simple process, but one that's working in Medicine Hat, Alberta. There are organizations here in Prince George using Housing First as a guiding principle, just on a much smaller scale. To find out more about the concept, you can visit homelesshub.ca and stay tuned to the stories we post on our website and right here, airing on 88.7 CFUR FM. Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio, Due North. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program.